Welcome to the University of North Carolina Eating Disorders Program podcast series. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bulick, Jordan Distinguished Professor of Eating Disorders, Professor of Nutrition, and Director of the UNC Eating Disorders Program. Today, we're fortunate to have a special guest. I'd like to introduce Laura Collins, author of Eating With Your Anorexic and founder of FEAST, Families Empowered and Supporting Treatment of Eating Disorders. Welcome, Laura. Thanks for joining us today.
It's an honor to be invited.
Laura, you and I have spoken on many occasions about the passion that you bring to helping parents who are dealing with a child with an eating disorder. I'd like to share some of that passion with our listeners today. I was hoping that you'd be able to start just by sharing some of your own story.
Absolutely. Our daughter, Olympia, became really ill with anorexia in 2002. She was 14 at the time. And we were, I would say, very, very fortunate. We got good information and good support fairly early in her illness. And I'm glad to say that she recovered fully and relatively quickly. But when it was going on, one thing that really kept me going was a vow that I made to myself and to the heavens that I wanted to improve the situation for caregivers in this illness, because I think it should not be true that in 2009, families are still not getting science-based information about the illness when we have that information out there. I think we're still back in an era that is more familiar to people in the autism world, where we're still blaming, we're still marginalizing families, and especially parents. And I think that this ends up having us blaming the patients for having the illness. And at the same time, we're cutting them off from their best resource, which is their family. And that's why I started FEAST. It's why I have collected this wonderful network of families that, in our world at the Around the Dinner Table Forum. And I think our goal is both to clear away things in the past that were wrong with the way parents are treated, but also to embrace this power that I see in families that helps them bring about faster and better recovery in their kids.
Oh, Laura, I can't tell you how important I think that point is for families to hear. It's been so great to sort of work together with you to try to bring eating disorders out of the dark ages of our past where we were blaming parents for the illness. Now, one of the things that you do often is you talk about the Maudsley method of treatment. Can you tell us a little more about what that exactly means?
This is one of my favorite topics because I think it is the first thing that parents need to know about. Whether it is the way they go in their treatment or not, they need the opportunity to know about the Maudsley approach. And the central assumption in the Maudsley approach is that the patient is suffering from malnourishment and that food is medicine and that, in a way, parents are the pharmacist that are delivering the medicine. And, yes, that is still a very controversial idea because we've traditionally thought of eating disordered thinking and behaviors as a choice that the patient was making. And parents are still being told that it's not about food and don't be the food police. So the idea that parents should be in charge of food is controversial. But I think it's important for parents to know that there's a growing knowledge about the way the brain works and that when bulimic patients are no longer binging and purging and anorexic patients are fully fed, that these symptoms that we're thinking of as choices, they lose hold when the person's brain is recovering and the person begins to be able to think more freely, and that is how they can finally embrace recovery. So with the Maudsley approach, parents are put in charge of food, what, when, how much, and what to do afterwards. We're responsible for stabilizing and re-nourishing our kids. And this is something that parents are famous for being able to do very well and usually do very well until the illness hits. They do this under the skilled and well-trained coaching of a therapist and also with medical monitoring by a doctor. And what's interesting is that our family and countless families that I've known over the years since 2002 have been shocked themselves to see that their loved one, once they were fully fed, stopped obsessing about food, stopped isolating themselves socially, stopped talking about food, stopped needing to cook for other people, and all those obsessive behaviors. And this was directly as a result of getting all of the calories, fats, proteins, and the meal structure that they need during recovery. And there is a rather hellish period of resistance usually at the beginning that frightens parents a great deal. But after that resistance, often children grow compliant and flexible around food, something the parents are as shocked by as anyone.
Laura, when I hear you talk about this approach, it sure isn't just parents feeding their kids or making their kids eat. This is a carefully considered technique and therapeutic approach that really requires input from a professional. It also doesn't sound like it's a quick fix or a magic pill. In fact, listening to you, this sounds like it's pretty tough work for the parents.
Absolutely, and I think it's really important that we emphasize that so that parents are well prepared for how hard this is. I found it the hardest thing I'd ever done, not just as a parent, but as a person. And I find that most parents feel that this is the biggest challenge that they've ever experienced. But I also can tell you that once we have achieved it, it also feels as if it's one of the greatest loving and brave things we've ever done and the best gift we could give to our children. The fact is, the alternative is watching helplessly as your child, your loved one, sinks into a state of withdrawn and weakened silence. And that is very frightening. And it is what the illness will do to our children if we don't do this. We have to make our homes safe, or we need to make sure our children are somewhere where they are safe from these behaviors. And parents who think that they can't do this often find that they do have reserves of strength and patience, and they need to understand that the resistance that they're experiencing from their child is not a sign that they're doing something wrong, but is a sign that they are experiencing really, really grueling mental symptoms that they need help with. There are three stages in Maudsley treatment, and we could break it down into the first is that all control over food and eating, how much to eat, is put into the parents' hands. And the second part, which is done months later, is handing the control back to the patient. The third part is getting the family back to normal functioning and getting the patient back to age-appropriate activities and responsibilities around food and other things. And each family is going to do this in a unique fashion. Each therapist has their own approach.
So, Laura, when you take a step back, what do you see as the ultimate benefit to the Maudsley approach?
I see the recovery with Maudsley is a group effort. It's a family event. And it empowers the family bonds. It cherishes the family bonds and strengths. It's strength-based as opposed to deficit-based. It's not based on what you are doing wrong or what's wrong with you as a family, but rather what your strengths and unique talents are. Traditional treatment was more about separating the patient from the family, and it left families and siblings feeling very helpless and alienated, even when the patient recovered. So what I hear from many families, even those that are successful with other approaches, is, I wish I'd known. And my work is about making sure that people know that they have options. And one of those is the Maudsley approach.
This is such valuable information for our families and for our parents to hear when they're seeking treatment for their loved ones. And, you know, it sounds like part of the way you're getting the word out is through this organization, Feast. Let's go back. Tell me, where did you get the idea to start Feast?
For me, this was about trying to counteract what I think has gone on with parents in the past. Parents have been afraid to come forward and be activists, and I think the history of separating families during recovery, which we sometimes call parentectomy, and the history of parent blaming has kept us as parents in the background. And to me, it was high time for that to change, and that's what Feast is about.
Oh, I couldn't agree more with that one. We so often find that parents come to us after having been blamed or just think somehow that they're completely at fault for causing the eating disorder. And that's at the core of one of my missions, too. So how do you take that belief to power Feast's mission?
I believe that parents have been ill-used in the past, but we need to step forward and we need to change that ourselves. We need to be part of that change. And I think that the eating disorder world needs more activists. It needs activists to press for improved treatment and for research funding. We need more science-based information getting out to the public. One of Feast's missions is to kind of be the science geeks of the eating disorder world.
Well, as a scientist, that warms the cockles of my heart, Laura. So that's really wonderful. I think that's so critical to empower parents to know that there is science-based treatment and to help them get the tools to figure out what that is. So how do you do it? What's currently on the Feast event calendar that parents can look forward to?
Well, we are going to have a delegation of parents again this year attending the National Eating Disorders Association Conference. That's going to be in Minneapolis in September. We have a growing group of activist parents who will be attending. We will also have representatives at the Academy for Eating Disorders Conference in April in Cancun. And at these events, our job is twofold. One is to spread the word about Feast so that parents can find us through their providers or on their own. And also, our other job is to respond to what parents are telling us about what they want, and to transmit that to the eating disorders world. So we're communicating both ways.
So getting real concrete, let's say there's a parent out there who's in the middle of dealing with an eating disorder in his or her child. How can Feast help?
We really believe in the power of information, first and foremost. We trust in the intelligence of well-informed parents, that they will make good choices if they know what their choices are. We rely on the internet a great deal. That's our main way of communicating with families. I'm very excited to say we have a lot of information and links that you're not going to find on other eating disorder websites. Our emphasis is on science and research, and there are things that we don't emphasize that you might find on other eating disorder sites. We're very proud of what we've got there. We also have a very popular online forum that sees hundreds of families every year, and we have moderators and mentors there who have been successful with the treatment of their children through many different approaches, by the way. We have a family-friendly treatment provider list and an online cookbook. We offer book reviews, and later this year we're going to be offering a live radio show and blog this year.
Well, that's cool stuff. Where can we find it? What's the website?
Our home on the internet is www.feast-ed.org.
That's great. We'll be repeating that later in the podcast as well. Laura, if you had any words of wisdom to share with parents who are concerned that their child might be suffering from an eating disorder, what would they be?
I believe that finding and then following through on treatment for an eating disorder child or adult is one of the most important and perilous decisions of a parent's life. I believe this illness means business on our children, and we have to face it with the courage and determination that an illness of this gravity requires. I tell parents that they should listen to their bravest parenting instincts and to do what they need to do for their child without any apology, because our children are depending on us.
Laura, I got to say that one of the things that you really offer to parents is honesty and hope. You are so honest about how difficult this journey can be, but wrapped right in with that honesty is just such a sense of hope that I think our parents really need to hear, no matter what stage of recovery their child or their loved one might be in. You've provided us with just wonderful information today and resources for parents whose children may be suffering from any type of eating disorder. It's been great to have you, and thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure, and I want to thank you, Cindy, for the work that you are doing for families. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Laura. Listeners, you can read more about Feast and all of their wonderful resources at www.feast-ed.org. Thank you so much for joining us today for the UNC Eating Disorders podcast series. This is Dr. Cynthia Bulick wishing you the best of health.